Let's begin on Daf Samach Aleph on the days, the last line. Elo Omar Rav Ashi, Rav Chisda v'Rabba. After the Gemara on the previous Daf went to Mitzvah Shach v'Tarah to discuss what exactly the case. The case, the Machlekes between Rav Chisda v'Rabba. We originally wanted to say the Machlekes was discussing a case where you did Shechita, and B'Shas Shechita he had a Kavon of what's going to be B'Shas Zerika. That was the Gemara's Hav Amina. After a whole long Shach v'Tarah, the Gemara is going away from that. The Gemara is telling us there's a new Mahalich to explain where exactly Rabba and Rav Chisda disagree. And what is the new Mahalich in the Sugya? Ela Omer Rav Ashi, Rav Chisda v'Rabba Bahai Kro Kamkli. They argue about the following pasuk. V'nirtza lo l'chaper olof. It will be acceptable for him to achieve atonement. At v'nirtza lo, it will be Hashem will have ratzayin. And l'chaper olof. And when Hashem accepts his karbon, he will achieve atonement. So the Gemara makes a drash. The Gemara says the word Allah is a very powerful word. Allah, he, this individual, will have atonement for his karbon. Allah, v'loy al chaver. We make a diuk that the karbon must be brought for you. This is the makar, one of the sources for the halacha, that if you slaughter a karbon for the wrong owner, the kohen shimi balim, he slaughters the karbon for the wrong person. Instead of Reuven, he slaughters Lashem Shimon. It's not kosher. Allah v'lo chaveroi. It's not a kosher karbon. So the Gemara does not want to make the following diuk. The chaveroi, the only time you have, we're going to have this concept. Well, let me take a step back. What happens if you have a karbon and the kohen shechts the karbon? I want to shecht it for the kapara of this monkey walking around in the streets. A monkey, not a man, or a cockroach. A water bug. Okay, there's a water bug walking around. I want the carbon to go l'shem the water bug. The water bug should have kapar. Does that kavan account? The kavan is nonsense. It's a nonsense. And if a coin has kavan that's nonsense, it's ki'ilu he didn't have kavan. That kavan, it's ignored. It's thrown out. The nail, it falls back on the default. Who is the default kapara for? For the person who purchased the carbon, for Reuven. If Reuven was the one that paid for the carbon, by default, the carbon goes to the credit of Reuven. The only time the carbon will go for the credit of someone else will be called Shimi Bolin, is if the coin explicitly states, I'm not having kavanah for Reuven, I'm having kavanah for Shimon. But if you have kavanah for a non-human being, I want the carbon to go for kapara for this piece of wood, or for this donkey, or for this cow, they should have kapara. It's a mishigas. If it's a mishigas, it doesn't count. So here's a lamech zach. Here I have a karban pesach. It's erev pesach. It's a chatzos. I yishachting karban pesach, and I'm shachting without kavana. I want a person who's not part of the group, right? That's a halacha lemnuya. It has to be only for the group. Let's say there are five people that are partners in this carbon. There's only one Reuven. Reuven is the only part of the carbon. I'm having kavana for Shimon. But the problem is Shimon does not have a bris mila. And being that a carbon pesach, one of the conditions in order to allow you to bring carbon pesach is you must have a bris mila. If I have kavana for Shimon, for a person that doesn't have a bris mila, it's ki'ilum having kavana for a monkey, for a donkey, for a calf, for a piece of wood. So my kavan is nonsense. If it's nonsense, it's not considered. I was mishane the ba'olim, and it's a kosher karbon. Or do we say this concept called hoil? Since if Shimon were to just do something very simple, he would just take a knife, and he would do on himself, or he would go to a moil and have a bris mila done. Just takes a few minutes, a few moments, and then it becomes roi. So since there is potential for Shimon to undergo the process of Nila and to become roi, to have the carbon offer on his behalf, even though he did not yet have this procedure done, we overlook the Maisa. He's roi, hoil, since if he would want it would be done, it's kilo he was done, and Mela, he's considered to be a human being who the carbon is roi for, and if the carbon is indeed roi for that person, for him, Mela, what's halacha going to be? It's going to be for the wrong balim. It was a shimi balim. It was supposed to go for Reuven, and the carbon was slaughtered on behalf of Shimon. So then indeed it's going to be a carbon pasul. That is our, and that's going to be machlis with Rabban of a whole new mahalach in the sugya. So here we go. Bahai kurok mugi, v'nir tzaloi l'chaper olav, olav v'loi al chaveroi, Rabba Savar, chaveroi dum yodidei, the friend must similarly to you, mahu de bar kaparu, just like you, the Baolim, the Reuven, is a bar kaparu, you're a human being, af chaveroi de bar kaparu, he must be a bar kaparu, liafuke hai orel, to the exclusion of the orel, the la bar kaparuhu, mimela, it's not called shinui bolim, because the machshava is machshava, which is nonsense. Rav Chisda Savar, no, hai orel nami, kevan de bar chiyuvuhu, since he is a bar chiyuva, why? Because gave the Baruch Yuvu Baruch Aparuhu. Why? Here comes the Gemara. This is the critical part of the Gemara, and the key word of the Gemara is in the brackets. Hoyel, since the Iboy Misake Nafshe, if he wanted to, he could be Misakin himself. So therefore, he's considered to be a person that's roy for the carbon. Now when the Kohen has Kavana for him, it's considered to be a Shimei Ba'olim, and the carbon is indeed possible. Yes, Shimon can be misakin himself by Bismillah. So since he can do that, that's good enough. So it comes out now. What comes out? Rav Chisda is the one that agrees, holds of the principle of Hoyel, whereas Rabba does not hold of the principle of Hoyel. Now this right away trigger in your mind a red flag, flashing lights. Because if you remember, only about 3 weeks ago, I'm sure every night before you go to sleep, Bechaza, over the last 30 daf.
Right.
So I'm sure you remember we had a sugya in a psachim of Hoyel of Erev Tavshilin. Hoyel of Erev Tavshilin, that it's Roy, that you're allowed to cook on Erev Yom Tov, on the Yom Tov afternoon, late afternoon, going into Shabbos, because I'm cooking for Shabbos, L'chayit's Hachana, and the Halacha, the Choyel, Hachana, you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So the Gemara said it's not really Hachana, because Choyel, the imik loy archim, who knows? You're cooking now Shabbos, Yom Tov afternoon, the food will be ready late in the day. You don't know who's going to show up. Who knows? Your long lost fourth cousin, twice removed, may come with his whole family, and they may be very hungry, and you may have to give them a meal. So since there's a possibility guests will arrive, it's not this hoyel. Now let me ask you, what are the chances of guests arriving and Shabbos have late the end of the afternoon? Very unlikely.
Zero to zero.
No, very unlikely, but still there's a possibility.
Yeah.
That in halacha, in the world of halacha, is enough of a consideration.
For hoyel.
So now we have a right to assume that if Rav Chisda is the one here in our sugi that says hoyel, in our unique halacha, the kohen is shachting the carbon l'shem shimon. L'shem shimon, it's Reuven's carbon, and he's shachting l'shem shimon. That's a problem. That's called shinui ba'olim. But it's only called shinui ba'olim if you're shachting it for a person that's roy for kapara. When it comes to a carbon pesach, you have to have a bris milah to be roy for the carbon. Shimon doesn't have a bris milah. So Shimon's not roy for the carbon. If he's not roy for the carbon, he's no different than a piece of wood. And if the kohen would have kavana, I'm shachting this carbon so that the piece of wood should get kapara, it's nonsense. And if it's nonsense, it's thrown out. It's thrown out, the carbon falls back to the default. The default is Reuven. It's kosher. So when I have kavana for Shimon, and Shimon does not have a bris milah, it's nonsense. Along comes Rav Chisda, hoyel, not so fast. Shimon is roy for the carbon. Oh, but he doesn't have a bris milah. What's the problem? We'll bring a mail. The mail will do a bris milah. Takes only a couple of seconds. How long can a bris milah take already? Takes 10, 15, 20, 30 seconds. A difficult case can take maybe a minute or two. Okay? It's very difficult.
Depends on how old the person is.
It depends on a lot of factors. Okay, but whatever the case is, it's no big deal. Hoyle, there's something called Hoyle. Who says this? Rav Chista. So we have a right to assume that Rav Chista agrees to the principle of Hoyle with regard to Kapara, he will agree to the principle of Hoyle when it comes to Erev Tafshilin. And Rav that says, though we don't say Hoyle by Kapara, we don't say Hoyle. Bottom line, right now, is Shimon Roy for the carbon? No. Because Shimon does not have a bris milah, so it's not a kosher carbon. So according to Rabba, same way it's not a kosher carbon, there is no hoil by carbon, it's not going to be, when it comes, Erev Tavshil is not going to work. There's no such halacha, you're not allowed to prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos because there's no such thing as hoil. You know the only problem is? When it comes to Erev Tavshil and it's Pumfakert, it's Rabba that says hoil, and Rav Chista doesn't say hoil. That's the Gemara's kasha. Umi is leder Rav Chista hoil. The itmar hoifet mi Yom Tov l'chol. If you cook from Yom Tov l'chol, Rav Chista, you know what he says? Take off your shirt, lie down. The bezin's going to give you lashes. Rav Chista ma'aloike, gemalkes. You even a loisa say. Rabbi Meichin from Yom Tov, you did a melacha, deraisa, leisase kol melacha. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do melacha. Achashe yosel l'chol nefesh.
Cooking,
bishul. Achashe yosel l'chol nefesh, hu levada yosel. But this is not for bishul, this is for tomorrow. You're getting melacha. Rabba amar ein aleike. Rabba amar ein aleike, I mean hoyel. Rabba's the one that says hoyel. V'im ikloi lei orchem chazir hashtam chazir lei. For Allah, Rav Chista amar leike, lo yamin hoyel.
So how is Rav Chista say you're supposed to prepare for Shabbos?
You don't prepare. It's too bad for you. You have to prepare before Yom Tov begins.
Yeah, but the supper will spoil. I mean,
so that you can have right, that's the way it is. Life, you know, not every
full of
problem.
Disappointments.
Exactly.
Life is full of disappointments.
That's the way it is, Vaita. So Bishlam of the Rabba, Ad Rabba, see, in this century, it's not a problem anymore.
Fine, good. The Gemara wasn't written,
Okay.
The ink isn't wet.
So maybe they would have found a way. They would find a way. Let's go, Vaita. So the Gemara is of Chistam, so we have a kash. So the Gemara, I have a solution. Here we go. Bishlam of the Rabba, Lekasha, Hacham, Mechusa, Maisa, Hassam, Lemechusa, Maisa. The Gemara wants to say, Gval, the Chiddush. Rabba's not a kasha. They had the Lamsha Gemara. This is like, like a Rab Chaim type of Gemara. There are two types of hoyles. There's a hoyel where you have to do something, and there's a hoyel where you don't have to do anything. When you cook, right, I'm cooking now on Yom Tov. So what's the problem? What is the hoyel? Maybe guests will come. Do I have to do anything? I don't do nothing. The guests are the ones that have to do something.
You don't have to do anything, not nothing.
Anything. You don't have to do anything.
You
don't have to do anything. The guests will arrive. They will arrive. They won't arrive. The hoyel is not in your hands to do.
Right.
That type of hoyel, it's possible we will say. That's a lightweight hoyel. I'm cooking on Yom Tov. Why am I allowed to cook? Because maybe a guest will come. Is there anything I can possibly do to make them come, not make them come? No. It's either they will or they won't. It's not dependent on my actions. When it's not dependent on your actions, it depends on what's going to happen out there. If they'll come, they won't come. There's an argument that you can make is we will say hoyel.
But outright invite them to come for Shabbos.
That's for sure going to be good. But if you outright invite them to come on Yom Tov, you're not going to have what to eat on Shabbos. So you don't really want them to come. Because if you're going to invite them to come again, they're going to have all your food, you're not going to have what to eat on Shabbos. Okay, the point is, it's not in your control. So when it's not in your control, then maybe we can say hoyel. But when it comes, but here, Rabba says when it comes to the carbon, we don't say hoyel. You know why? I'm shechting it l'shem shimon. The shimon bris mila? No. Why is it going to be a good? Why can you argue that it should be a good carbon? Because the shimon can go to the moil and do a bris mila. Well, did he do the bris mila? No. He has to go. Shimon, it's totally in doing. He has to do something. There's what to do. You have to pick yourself up. We know exactly what needs to be done in order to make it done. Let's see inside. Bishop the Rabbi had Rabbi Lekoshok over here. Mechusar Maisa. Here, the bris was not done. At the moment when the Kohen slaughtered, Ruvain's Carbon Pesach, L'Shem Shimon, at this moment in time, forget about, I didn't really explain it correctly, let's just focus on the moment, on this moment in time. At this moment in time, let's explain it this way. When the Kohen is shachting the carbon, for L'Shem Shimon, does Shimon at this moment in time of a Bris Milah? No. At the moment of the Machshava, the critical moment is the moment when the Kohen has the Machshava. At that critical moment, Shimon does not have a Bris Milah. What kind of business is this? Hoyel. Since right now, we can drag Shimon to a Moyel and have a Bris Milah, it's good enough. Well, right now is the moment when the carbon is being kosher, is when the carbon is being activated. And at this moment in time, we know for a fact that Shimon does not have a Bris Milah. And you tell me, okay, so what? Since if he really wanted to, he could have had a Bris Milah. But he didn't have a Bris Milah. You're not going to say hoil in this case. But in the case of cooking, I'm cooking Erev Yom Tov. So when I'm cooking, the event is yet to happen. We have 6 hours left to go. The event is yet to happen. So maybe in that case we will say hoya. So in addition, the rabbi like Hashachabah b'chus ma'isa, Hashem b'chus ma'isa. So therefore, we can answer the student rabbi. El l'drav chis rav chis to kashu, but according to rav chis, we have a very big kasha. Madach, we don't say hoyil in the case of erev tafshilin. Al achas kama v'kama, you're not going to say hoyil in the case of bris milah. So kasha. So the Gemara says another beautiful svar. I'm going to answer you. Ki lesta rav chis to hoyil l'kula. When does Rav Chista not hold the principle of Hoyel? That's by Erev Tavshilin, because if you're going to say Hoyel, what's the result? The result is we're going to let you do something that otherwise you could not have done. So we're making use of the principle of Hoyel Lekula as a leniency. Whereas here, if we're going to make use of Hoyel, it's going to be over here, if we're going to make use of Hoyel, it's going to result in but here, when does he not hold of hoyel? Because there we're going to let you cook. We don't want to let you cook, so we're not going to say hoyel. By the case of Erev Tavshilin, the only way you're going to be allowed to cook is if we say Hoyel. So we're saying Hoyel in order to allow you to do something that otherwise you could not do. That's an abuse. That's an abuse of the halacha. You're abusing Hoyel to let you do something that you otherwise could not do. That we don't want to say Hoyel. But here, we're going to say Hoyel to get you to ruin the carbon. It's a chumrah. We're going to say, Kohen is shachting Ruvain's carbon, L'Shem Shimon. We're going to say the principle of Hoyel. And by saying the principle of Hoyel, the carbon is not kosher. So we're using Hoyel as a chumrah to disqualify the carbon. That we're going to do. Okay, so a whole new svar. Okay, so we have a whole new svar. The bottom line of you is we have a beautiful sugya. We have a new mahalach in the machlis in Rabbi Rav Chista. The issue of Rabbi Rav Chista is an issue of Hoyel. And even though we've learned in the previous dafim that Rav Chista and Afuna, Rabba and Rav Chista, they argue with Ho when it comes to cooking on Yom Tov L'Shem Shabbos. And there they contradict, they say reversed. We have two beautiful yisoides, machlekes to tzachilik, between the sugya of Hoyel on Yom Tov and the sugya of Hoyel by a carbon. Number one, there on Yom Tov it's not mechusser maiser. I'm cooking now based upon what can be later on in time. We don't know what's going to be later on. Maybe they will come, maybe they won't come. That's okay. But here, you can't say hoyel when right now, look at the facts. Right now, the carbon becomes kosher. At this moment, he doesn't have a bris milah. Oh, you're telling me it doesn't matter because he could have had. But he didn't. It's after the fact. That's one yisoid. And the second yisoid, you can look at the pum faker, you can look at it the other way around, and you can say that in the case of Yom Tov, you're using hoyel as a kula. That's an abuse of the halacha. Whereas here, you're using hoyel as a chumrah. And that's not an abuse, that's adam. You want to be machmir. You want to be machmir. A lot of machmirim out there.
What would be a Reuven who's not gemal, who go
Korban Pesach for the whole group. And he's the
one that's not. We learned it yesterday. That was yesterday's daf. The Gemara said kosher. That was yesterday's daf. If the Kohen slaughters the Korban for a group, and in the group there's one person that's not gemalt, he does not ruin it for the remainder of the group. And we're going to come back and discuss it right now in the next sugya. Here we go. Now this next line is a quote from yesterday's daf. Okay, and the Gemara is now going to elaborate and basically dissect things that we've learned yesterday in more detail. So here we go. We have a quote. Amar, Amalei Ma'azot L'Breda Mar L'Ravina. Ketani, we learned yesterday in passing. Hoyel V'Ola Baselis U'Vetum Baselis. We had a dilemma. What was our dilemma? Okay, let's review the Gemara from yesterday very quickly. Your case, exactly what you just mentioned. The Kohen is slaughtering the Korban Pesach L'Shem, a group. And in this group is one person who did not have a bris milah. But everyone else in the group did have a bris milah. Is that one person did not have a bris milah? Is he wounded for the other members of the group? That's the question. Mayerfeld.
Yeah.
That's the question. So the Gemara says, you know what? We have two other cases to compare it to. Case number one is tuma. Case number two is zman. Zman. Time. Yeah. What was the case of tuma? Let's explain the way we said it yesterday. The Gemara is going to revisit what exactly is the case. The way we learned yesterday, on a very simple level, is if you have a group of five people who are partners in the Korban, and one is tamei, and four are tahar, and the Kohen checks it for all five, the one that's tamei does not ruin it for the other four.
So if he touches Bahamut, yeah.
We're not discussing touching. We're discussing there's a group. The group is owned by, is coming to atone five people. And the one is Tameh, the four are Tar, and the Kohen slaughters it on behalf of all five. Because the one that's Tameh, not a regular Korban Pesach. So I take a step back.
Yeah, do you do Shvi'ah on Korban Pesach?
No, you do not. You do not, as far as I remember. If I'm not mistaken, you do not. Korban Pesach is unique. It is the only korban that cannot be brought in a state of tumah. All other korbanos, that was part of the Gemara yesterday, all other korbanos, if you are tamei, you can bring it. You don't bring it. You basically give the animal to the kohen. That's right. That's an exception where, right, that, but that's only for korban tzim. That's not for korban yachat. That's that the kohanim can be tamei. Or on Yom Kippur, let's put that aside for a moment. Let's discuss a regular case, a private carbon. Let us say you have a carbon oila. You have an obligation to bring a carbon oila, carbon chatas. And your tummy. It happens to your tummy. So it's not ideal to have the carbon brought on your behalf when you're in a state of tumah, for different reasons. But after the fact, if you give the animal to the kohen, and you tell the kohen, I'll see you later, buddy, I'm Tomei, I can't come into the Beis HaMikdash, so I trust you. Here's my cell phone number. As soon as you finish, give me a call to let me know that everything went A-OK, and I have achieved it, so you can do it. There's no problem sending a carbon on your behalf when you are in a state of Tumah. If Reuven is Tomei, and he gives an animal to a Kohen and says, Kohen, please slaughter this animal on my behalf, so that I get atonement, in Shemayim I'll be clean. Clean as a whistle. And I'm tummy. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm tummy. It works. You know, again, it's not ideal, but you can do it. It works. When is the only time when a person cannot have a carbon offer on his behalf when he is in the state of tumah? The only exception to this rule is a carbon Pesach. Mm-hmm. If you, it's Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, and you're tummy. Oh, I'm tummy. Can you be part of a group? Can you bring your own private carbon Pesach? No. You have to go Pesach Sheni. Carbon Pesach is the only carbon b'chol ha'tarah kula where a yachid is not allowed to have it brought on his behalf when he is in a state of tumah. Right? Is that clear? And let's say the Kohen slaughters the carbon Pesach on behalf of Reuven, and Reuven is tameh, the carbon is pasul. Okay? Now let's make matters.
What do you got to do with it? Burn it?
Burn it. Don't put the blood on the Mizbeach. Don't burn the Emurim. Don't eat it. Burn it in the Beis Hadesh, in the Korban is Pasul. Now let's make matters more complex. Let's say we have a Korban Pesach that has a group, which is very common, right? Every Korban Pesach is eaten b'chabura. You have a group. So you have five people. Five people who are partners in the Korban Pesach. And let's go one case at a time. Let's say all five people are Tameh. All five. They're all Tameh. and the Kohen slaughters this Korban Pesach l'shem, those five people who are a part of the group, and they're all tamei. What's the halacha? Pasul. Right? The Korban is pasul. Because the Korban was offered on behalf of five people who are all tamei. Nothing to talk about. But now, let's say you have a group and one of them is tamei, and four are tar. And the Kohen says, I want to shecht on behalf of all five people. On behalf of the tummy guy and the four other people that are tahar. So what is the halacha? It's kosher. The one person who's tummy does not ruin it for the other four people. So along comes our Gemara. Now Gemara says, look, we have a shail. I have a group. The group is comprised of five people. One is an orel, and the other four are mulim, are good, full-fledged Jews with a bris milah. And the Kohen slaughters it on behalf of all five people, the Orel and the Mulim. The Gemara doesn't know what the halacha is. Going back to yesterday's daf. We learned this yesterday. So the Gemara says, I don't know what to do. On the one hand, there was a machsheves psul. On the other hand, there are four people who are good men, four good men. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, you know what? Let's compare the case of five people, one who's an Orel and four, to the case of Tuma. Let's say there are five people, and one is Tame, and four are Tar, and the Kohen Shes for all five people. What's the halacha? The halacha is it is kosher. Kosher. The one person who's Tame does not ruin it for the other four people. So just like when it comes to Tumah V'Tahara, does not ruin it, so too when it comes to the case of Orel and Mulim, it's not going to ruin it. We're going to compare the case of Mulim to the case of Tumah. Just like by Tumah, it's A-OK, so too in the case of Orel, it's A-OK. That was one. Then the Gemara says, but maybe, you know what? Maybe we should really compare it to a new case. What's the case? Zaman. And what's Zaman? Well, how did we... everything I told you now is subject to change, which will, that's the whole purpose of this stuff. But I'm just reviewing what we learned yesterday. What then is it? No, I have another. Maybe why should we compare it? No water coming out? Just the sounds of the pipes?
Yeah.
Okay, there's no longer, there's no mamoshes. So let's now go to the next. Let's say we have a case of a carbon, and the carbon, the kohen, the carbon, let's say there's meat to be eaten. After you do bring the carbon, there's going to be, let's say, 25 kizesim of meat. And all the kohanim are going to participate. They're all going to eat the carbon khatas. 25 kizesim. Everyone gets a kizais. Everyone gets a kizais for dinner. And the kohen is shemazel, and he says, you know what, they're going to be 25 kizesim. No, tomorrow I need lunch for tomorrow. I'm going to stash away one kizayis for tomorrow's lunch. Chutz l'zman. So what is that called? That is called pigel. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the halacha? Only one kizayis. 24 kizayisim. 24 kizayisim are going to be eaten when? Tonight. One kizayis is going to be eaten tomorrow. So what is the halacha? Does that one kizayis ruin it, the other 24? You bet it does. The whole carbon becomes pigel. So what do we learn from this halacha? That mitzvah.
How can it be pigel before the
zman? Before the zman. That is what pigel is. Pigel is if you have a kavanah that one kizayis should be eaten.
Yeah, but maybe I'll get hungry in the middle of the night.
It doesn't matter. That's the law of pigel. You got to study kachrim. That's the law of pigel. If you have kavanah on one kizayis that should be mukutzman, it's pigel right now. Right now, the whole carbon has a status of pigel. If you eat it right now, you chayiv kars. There's a chayiv kars. That's what it says. So here's halacha. I have 25 kizayisim. I have kavanah that one kizayis shall be mechutz l'zman, and the other 24 kizayisim shall be eaten l'zman. Does the kavanah of one kizayis chutz l'zman ruin it for the other 24 kizayisim? You bet it does. It does. The whole kavanah is pigel. So here the Gemara, look at this. Here's a case where I have kavanah. Part of my kavanah is no good. Part is good. The part that's no good ruins it for everything. On the other hand, the case of tamei v'tar, I have a Korban Pesach, I have five people, one person is Tomei, the other four are Tar, I have Kavanah for all five of them, the Kavanah for the Tomei does not ruin it for the Tohirim, for the other four people. Now, those are givens. And now we have the dilemma. I have Arelim Umulim. I have in front of me five people. Four of them have a bris mila. One does not. I have kavana for all five. I have a shaila. Does the kavana for the Arel ruin it for the other four people? Do we compare it to the case of Tuma v'Tahara and it's A-OK? Or do we compare it to the case of Pigel, Chutz L'Zman, and it's no good? This is a chazara from the Gemara from yesterday. Let's see those words inside. So Omar... Amalim, it's like a little bit more than halfway, a little bit less than halfway. Then Amalim, Marzuch Beid Rabbi was a quote. Amalim, Marzuch Beid Rabbi, Ravina. Ketanim we learned yesterday in the Gemara Hoyle since the Arla Paisela. So what the Gemara said? The Gemara was inclined to say, we're going with a quote that we're going to compare it to the case of Tuma. Just like Tuma, it's okay. So to Arla is okay. Hoyle the Arla Paisela, the Tuma Paisela, Ma Tuma Loi Asa Ba Mixas Tuma Kicholat Tuma Af Arla Loi. Now the Gemara says, "Hi, Tuma Heichidim. What's the case? I already told you the case, but the Gemara is coming to question if what I told you is correct. Hi, Tuma Heichidim. Ilem abitumas gavrei, five people. Umay loyasam b'miksas tum gecholatuma. Now I told you five. The Gemara has different numbers, but you'll forgive me for telling you, fudging the numbers. The iika arba v'chamisha gavrei. So maybe a four or five people that are tume. Okay, four or five that are tume." The Arba the Chamisha Gavrei Tohoyrin Four of the Ratar Loi. And what's the halacha? It's a given. It's a given. Loi pass by Lutmeim Lutarim. The Tumeim don't ruin it for the Tohoyrim. And if that's going to be a given, and we're going to use it as a source, Gabriel Lenami Hi Loi Pasley. By Arlo also, high loy pasta. That's what the Gemara wants to conclude. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara. That when it comes to, you have five people, one is an Arel, and one, four are not Arelim. It's not like it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah comes to that conclusion. Lemulim, uli Arelim, kosher. That's the source. And the Gemara says, wait a minute, why is Tuma more of a given than the law of Arla? Just like you had a question. And you question the Mishnah, how the Mishnah knew this. There was some uncertainty, right. And you came and you resolved the uncertainty by comparing it to Tuma. But why is Tuma certain? What's the biblical source that Tuma, the Kavon, does ruin it? Maishna Tuma dipshitale, Maishna Arladim Safkale. So now the Gemara is going to revise the case of Tuma. Not like I told you, five people, one is Tuma, four are Tar. A whole new case. Because if Taka, yeah, well, what's the case? Ela betumas baser. What does that mean exactly? Umay loyasaba mix. What does it mean? Loyasaba mixas tumah kolatum. But very simple. The ilu itme chad nevarim haidit me sarfin leiva iduch achlin lei. Simple. If you have a carbon, and the kohanim, you bring the carbon, right? A carbon chadas. And the kohanim, they cut up the animal into its limbs. There's an arm, a leg, a chest. I don't know all the fancy terms. They go to the supermarket and they have all the various cuts. Okay, I don't know from that. I don't know if all these fancy terminology. To me, it's all the same. But whatever it is, you have over here, you have a top and a bottom. That much I know. That's a chicken, though. That's only a chicken. But that's they'll deal with an animal, whatever it is. And all the pieces have been separated into their parts, and they're not touching it because they're touching. If they all touch, the animal's still one piece. If you touch it,
they dissected the.
The animal has been cut into different pieces, and they're all separate. And the kohen walks in and he says, "Rabbi Sai, I'm tamei. I want everyone to know that I'm tamei." He doesn't belong in the mikdash. He's chayiv nis leshav being nisnish. And then he touches the meat. He touches the leg.
One part.
Oh, whatever he touches, gotta be tamei. Gotta be burnt. Does that mean that the other parts down have to be burnt as well? The other parts?
No, he didn't touch
them. Why not? Well, think about it. The Talmud says maybe if one part down becomes tamei, maybe that automatically
should
not.
Maybe it spreads.
Maybe it doesn't spread physically, but maybe if one part of the animal is tamei, maybe I don't know. You'll have some lumish thing. The whole animal is tamei. The whole animal is puzzle. No such thing. No such thing. Okay, no. The limb that was touched is tamei. The other limbs are tar. That's the case. Okay, that's the case. So just like when it comes to a carbon. Tuma, a whole new case now. Yeah, what's our dilemma? We're dealing with a kohen who's having kavanah to slaughter for five people. One is an Arel. Four are Tohoyrim. Four are Tohoyrim. Four are Mulim. And one is an Arel. Does the kavana of one ruin it for the other? For one, so let's compare it to the case of a karbon that is broken up into five parts, and someone whose tummy touches one part, does it ruin it for the other parts?
No.
Of course not. So just like there it doesn't ruin it, so too when you have kavana for five people, one person won't ruin it for the other four people. That's what the Gemara wants to suggest. Don't get carried away with this interpretation, because if this could be the case, let's continue to read the words. It was Chazar from yesterday. Let's continue to read the words of the Brayis and see if everything holds water as we continue. The Maya Kimta, what do you want to tell me? The Tumas Basa. Okay, that's how you want to tie each the case Basa. Let's continue to read the next words of the Brayis from yesterday. Emo Seifa. It says in the Seifa, Donin. So we had a dilemma. Do we compare it to the case of Tuma? Or do we compare it to the case of what? Piggle. What was Piggle? 25 kazaisim, one kazais for lunch tomorrow, chutzlazman, the other 24 are tonight, are okay. So what did the Gemara say? We're going to compare Donin. It's much more logical. Davar she'enoi noeg b'chol ha'zvachim, midavar she'enoi noeg b'chol ha'zvachim, v'al yuchiyach zman she'enoi b'chol ha'zvachim. Now let's just take a step back. Let's make believe we did not revise the case of Tuma. Let's go back to the old version of Tuma. What was the old version of Tuma? Five people, or ten people. Four or five people, Tame, Sama, Tame, Samatar. That halacha is 100% unique, when it says before you came, to Karban Pesach. By every other Karban in the world, if you're Tame, it's okay. If you are Tame, and you send your Karban to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohanim offer the Karban on your behalf, even though you are Tame, you get Kapara. No big deal. The only time you have a halacha that if you're Tame, you do not get Kapara, is only by a Karban Pesach. Correct? That's the only time. If a person is Tame, and you're outside the Beis HaMikdash, and you send your Karban inside to the Karban Pesach, it's possible. Because that's why you have Pesach Sheni. You have to be in the state of Tyra. The law of Orel is also unique to Karban Pesach. So the Gemara said, we rather go learn the law of Orel from the law of Tuma, because both Orel and Tuma have in common that they are halachas that are 100% unique to Karban Pesach.
Right.
Whereas Zeman, Pigol, is something which applies to every Karban in the world.
Right.
But now that you have revised the case of Tuma to refer not to where the owner is Tamei, but where to a piece of the meat became Tamei, that halacha that if one piece of meat became Tamei, all the other parts of the animal do not become Tamei, it's not unique to Karban Pesach.
Right.
That halacha applies to Chol Terah Kula. So the next words of the Gemara don't make any sense. So the Gemara says, What do you mean Tumah is not noig b'chol hazvachim? Inem a Tumas basar, like you told me, like you revision. Am I noig b'chol hazvachim? It's not true. It does apply b'chol hazvachim. If one piece becomes tummy, all the pieces don't become tummy. Ela pshita. We have no choice but to say b'tumas gavri. We got to go back. We got to go back to our original interpretation. You have four or five people that are tar, four people that are tamei. El to maskavri. Umay ein neig b'chol hazvachim. What does it mean that it's not neig b'chol hazvachim? What it means is the ilu b'chol hazvachim or like we said the ilu b'chol hazvachim or the tamei meshachim come the same. When it comes to all zvachim and all the tamei can send their karbanos. If you're not on site, you're not available, it doesn't make it difficult to your karbanos. Vilu pesach over tamei meshachim pischeim. But by karban pesach in oral, if you are an oral or a tamei, you cannot send your karban pesach based on nigdash. Okay. So the Gemara said that's the case. Reisha b'tumas basar. Reisha b'tumas basar. B'seifa b'tumas gavrei. Doesn't make sense then. So it comes out now that the whole part of the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Because when the Gemara has the question, when the Gemara starts off with the question, the only reason why it's pshita by Tuma is if it's Tumas Basar.
Right.
And then when the Gemara comes to give the answer, which one, when the Gemara comes to compare it, the only way the comparison makes sense is if it's Tumas Gavre, because the terminology the Gemara used is it's unique to Karban Pesach.
Right.
Doesn't make sense. You start off by having a dilemma, and the dilemma, the question, only makes sense if you're going to learn Tumah refers to Tumas Basar. And then when you go and you resolve the question, the way you resolve it is by referring to Tumah, which is Tumas Gavre. So the answer doesn't fit the question, the dilemma.
Now you have to pay double.
What?
Now you have to pay double at least.
What do you mean double?
Yeah. Alright.
So the Gemara is Amalei in. It's not a kasha. Shame to Mukaparich. Smurg is a fascinating answer. The Gemara says, you're right. You know what? Even though it doesn't really make sense, it makes sense. Because it's all included in the general category of Tumah. Let's review. The Gemara's real question, let's review what we have over here. The Gemara's dilemma is, I have in front of me a Karban. I'm a Kohen. And in front of me is a Karban. I'm having Kavana to five people. One is an Orel, four are Mulim. Does that Machsheves Psul for the Orel ruin it for the other four people? I don't know what to do. I can't go and resolve my question from a similar case of Tumah Vatara, where I have five people and one is Tumah and four, because I don't know what Allah in that case is either. That can't be my resolution, because the same way I have a suffix by Orel, I have a suffix by Tumah also. So that can't be my resolution. So where can I only resolve my dilemma from? I can resolve from a case of an animal that's been cut into five pieces, and one piece is Tumah, and the other four pieces are Tar.
Right.
So the part that's Tumah doesn't ruin for the other four
but
pieces.
It's still whole.
Then of course, once you touch a whole animal, then the whole thing becomes tummy. But if it's broken into five pieces and one piece becomes tummy, the other four pieces don't become tummy. That's where I can resolve. And because that's a case, I'm gonna go in that direction. Why am I going to go in that direction? Because Orel and Tumah have something in common. What do they have in common? Is that they're unique to Karban Pesach. But this case of five pieces of meat and one is tummy and four are tar is not unique to Karban Pesach.
Right.
I know this particular case is not unique to Karban Pesach. But in general, in concept, there is a concept of tumah, not in this particular case.
But in general,
shame tumah ba'olam, in general, there is a concept of tumah that is unique to Karban Pesach, and Orel is unique. So therefore, since in general they share that in common, that is enough to direct me to be poishet my shiloh of Orel and Mulim from a case of tumah of five pieces of meat.
Right.
Four are tar, one is tameh, and it's okay. See, it's a very powerful lumbus. So the Gemara says, shame tumah. The shame tumah kaparich. Okay, that's it. It's number one. Answer number two. New gewaldige answer. The save is also Tumas Basar. We're dealing with five pieces of meat. One piece of meat is Tameh and four are Tahar.
Detached.
Now what do we mean? We mean as well as the ilu b'chol azvachim bein shnit mag chelef u'basar kayim. There's a very unique halacha to Tumas Basar by Karban Pesach. If you shech the Karban Pesach, and even if the chelef, the fats, are available, but before you get a chance to do Zrikas Hadam, the Koyhan, they had a whole relay system.
Yeah.
It's a busy day at Pesach. millions of people bring korbanos. There was so much blood. Chazal said that there was a swimming pool of blood in the Beis HaMikdash. It was up to their knees. They had to walk. They had to walk on a platform because there was so much blood. They got soaked in blood. But if before they got a chance to do zurik or the basar, the meat of the carbon pesach became tameh, you're not allowed to do zurika. It's an amazing halacha, because when it comes to every other carbon in the world, if you do shechita and you mekabel the dam, and before you get a chance to do zrika, the basar becomes tameh, alright, so you'll burn the basar. You can still do zrika and you'll get kapara. Karim Pesach is unique. So Taka, you see, what do you see from this? You see that even in the din of the basar of the Karim Pesach, there's something that's unique. This particular halacha, five pieces of meat that are detached, one is tameh and the other for atar, that is not unique. But within the din basar, forget about shame, because the point was too general. It was the din of the gavra, the person, the ba'olim is tameh. We don't need to come on to the gavra, to the person, the owner is tameh. Even within the meat itself, there's something that's extremely unique.
Why is Pesach different than Kini?
Gzeres Agasef. Because that's the whole purpose of each lefi achle to chayis alaseh, instead of achila. So therefore, that's an incredible yisoid, at least to come out of the daf today. You always have to look. I tell you, what did you learn today? And you learned the daf. God, what is the yisoid? The yisoid of is a murdik yisoid that in the din Karban Pesach, there's a din tumas basar that's unique to Karban Pesach. If the basar is tamei, the basar, you're not allowed to do zrika. And when it comes to all other karbanos, that's not so. You can still do zrika. You're going to have if you do shchiyah kabbal, you have the blood and the basar comes tummy, you can still do zrika. So Gemara says that's more. Okay, so we're in business. So we have two answers: either shem tum b'yolam, or we have the answer that there is a din unique din and din basar. So the Gemara now goes right. The Gemara says, don't smile yet. Don't smile. You made it through one hurdle. But let's keep on reading the Gemara, the Brayso, so we learned yesterday. And let's see if everything that we said still holds water. The Mayo Kimta, okay. So far, so good. The Tumas Basar, okay. You've made it through the first round. Let's continue. Amos say, for the Brayso goes weiter. The Brayso says, Don and Dovar. The Gemara says, no, you know what? Let's say Pumfakert. Instead of comparing it to the case of Orel, to the case of Tuma, let me suggest a Svara to compare it to Pigel, because Orel and Pigel have in common, there's never an exception. Whereas Tuma has exceptions. Now let's analyze this. The Mayu Kimta had to use this on the Gemara between Mas Basar. Amos Seifa, Don and Dava Shlohito Bechlaloi, Midava Shlohito Bechlaloi, Vyalto Chiach Tuma, Shrei Chutra Mechlala, Demai, what are you talking about? Eleven to Mas Basar, Hey Chochutra, what are you talking about? If the Tuma that we're dealing with is Tumas Basar, like you told me, you have five pieces of meat, one piece of meat is Tumi, and the other four are Tahar, there's an exception, there's a time when this halach is not true. What are you talking about? The halach of Tumas Basar is always true. If meat is Tumi, you're not allowed to eat it. There's never an exception.
It's only
when you're Bishlam, until now, we were discussing not the meat is Tumi, but the owner is Tomei. The Ba'olim is Tomei. There we have an exception. If the majority of Klal Yisrael are Tomeim, the Karbanos can be brought on their behalf. So we do have an exception. But now that you have revised the case to be discussing a case where the owners, they're not the ones that are Tomei. The problem is over here, the meat is Tomei. If the meat is Tomei, you can never ever eat meat that's Tomei. There's no exception. Again, we're dealing with, like we learned originally, that the owners are Tameim. So if the owner of the Karban Pesach is Tameh, you can't bring it. But there are exceptions. What are the exceptions? If the majority of Klal Yisrael are Tameim, then you can bring the Karban. But now that you're telling me the case is not the matter of the Ba'olim being Tameim, but the issue is the Basar is Tameh, there's never an exception. Where is there an exception?
So Ela Pshita must then be when the Gemara is telling us, when the Gemara is giving the answer, when the Gemara is making the resolution that we should go and we should compare it to the case of Pickle, because Pickle there is no exception, whereas Tumah there is an exception. The only way that makes sense is to refer not to the Tumas Bosar, but to the Tumas Ba'olim. Ela Pshita, but Tumas Gavre, the Ba'olim. Where is there an exception? If the majority of Klal Yisrael are Tumim, then you bring the Karban Pesach B'Tumo. So what's going on? We're going back in circles. So we have the dilemma in the Gemara. The way you've presented the dilemma is Tumas Bosa. Otherwise, there's no tzaddik compared to Tumah. Bereisha b'tumas baser. But with the resolution is safer b'tumas gavre. What's going on? So the Gemara gives the same answer. The same answer we got to get to hurdle one, we're getting to hurdle two. In yes?
Shame
Tumah Kaparach. You're right. In this instance, you're right. There is no exception. But let's discuss, let's open up. Let's not be so narrow. Let's be much more broad-minded. In the concept of Tumah, in the concept, in the big world, in the ballpark of Tumah, there is such a concept where Tumah is Chutra. Whereas Pigle, never, not in this game, and not in the World Series, never. There's never going to be a din. There's never going to be a din. Ein Shem Tumah Kaparach. Okay, that's answer number one. Answer number two, everybody say more? Oh, now this is also an incredible sight. Okay, if you don't know Mamash, this is not something that you just know. This you only know if you really know, you really learn, you really learn the Gemara, then you know this sight. Everybody say more? Kulu Tumas Basar, V'hachar V'hechutu B'tumas Pesach. Incredible chiddush. D'tnan Pesach Haba B'tumo. Let's say Taka, the majority of Klal Yisrael are Tumim. Okay, so what would you say? The majority of Klal Yisrael are Tumim. You bring the carbon Pesach in a state of Tumah. So, do you also eat it in a state of Tumah? Now, it's one thing you bring a carbon, all carbonos, if you're Tameh, so you don't eat it. The blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and either the Kehanim eat it, or if it's Kachakalim, so your neighbors, your family eats it. So you don't need it. The Zundahed, you don't need it. So you would think that if you're going to bring a carbon Pesach in a state of Tumah, so you don't need it. The Iker is to have the Zrika. The Zrika, you have to bring a carbon Pesach. You have to be slaughter an animal and do a Zrika on the Mizbeach. Nu, to eat. Halavai, you can eat, but you can't eat. You're Tame. If you're Tame, you can't bring it. You're right. You normally you can't bring it, but if the majority of Klai Yisrael are Tameim, so you bring it. But with the majority of Klai Yisrael are Tameim, you bring it, so Lachar, you don't need it. This is an incredible exception. When the majority of Klai Yisrael are Tameim, and you bring it B'tumah, you can eat it B'tumah. In the Guf HaPesach itself, the Gemara says that that's only in a different case. Pesach Sheni, let's put that out, leave it out, because that's more complicated. Let's put that out for now. Right now, dealing with Pesach Rishon, majority of Klal Yisrael Tamei, Ditnan, Pesach Ba B'Tumah, Nechal B'Tumah, Shloi Ba Mitchilosai El Lachim. The first Karban Pesach, yeah, the majority of Klal Yisrael are Tameim, you bring the Karban Pesach B'Tumah, and not only do you bring it B'Tumah, you can eat it B'Tumah. So there's an exception, afilu in the basar itself. So we're back in business. Okay, so far, that's the end of the Gemara. We're finished. Amazing, we're finished. So we finished the sugya, we read the sugya, this is a complete inyan. We've gone through the inyan, and we've gone through the Gemara's maskanis. The shayla is a shayla of Tumas. The resolution, the dilemma came from the case of Tumas Basar, and when we came to resolve it, we came on either to Shem Tumah, or we actually found exceptions in the Tumas Basar itself. Okay, let's at least read the next Gemara, new sugya. Here's a lamer sugya. Masiv avchun ibrei Rav Yeshua, chush nushayl. Pesach she'avar shenasai, ushchotai bizmanai lishmoi, what is the halacha? Other components of carbon shlam l'shem pesach bezmano. What is the halacha? Rabbi Eliezer poisel. Rabbi Yeshua machshir. Now let's analyze one case after the first case. Well, the first case is a very long mishnah case. The halacha is a carbon pesach must be within its first year. Has to be with ben shenasa, less than 1 year old. So the Pesach now is 2 years, it's in its second year. It's 2 years old. Now this means in the first, you did not get it with Lemulusi Rashi, right? Let's do not Rashi to clarify exactly the case. Look at the last wide line. Shavishnas Shnoilad Eshtakat Koydim Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It was born last year before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the Frisha L'Shem Pesach. So it was born before, and now you set aside the Shem Pesach. V'chimata Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and when it reaches Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Avra Shnosai. You set aside this animal before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It was born last year. And the point is, right now the animal is 13 years, 13 months old. It's more than 13 months old. The Pasuk says it has to be Ben Shana, within 1 year. The animal is more than 1 year old. But the animal has been set aside L'Shem Karban Pesach. Now normally, when an animal is not fit, when an animal gets too old, becomes 13 months, it automatically turns into a Karban Shlamim. That's the halacha, very unique halacha. But that's only true if you're slaughtering the animal, you're shechting it, not Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Now you're waiting until the next year, Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, and you're shechting it L'Shem Karban Pesach. Pesach, 13 months. So if you would have shechted the Karban Pesach, the animal, not Erev Pesach, it would automatically be a Karban Shlamim. Because since the animal has now become 13 months. It's 3 months, so it's too old to be a Karban Pesach, it automatically turns into a Shlamim. If you would shecht it, not Erev Pesach, it would have the status of a Shlamim. The problem is you preserved it until the next year Pesach, it's now Pesach. It's Erev Pesach, after Chatzos. So do we say, since Be'emes, this animal was set aside as a Karban Pesach, and it's the Zman, the Ego over here is that it's the Zman, it's not Choyel, it's Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, it's the Zman, Shchitas Pesach, and the animal itself has Kedushas Pesach, it will be possible. It's not going to be a Shlomo.
Yeah.
It will only be a Shlomo when it's not Erev Pesach. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't matter, it's still the Kedushas. I'll stop here.